Welcome to the Sherry Group Podcast. Thank you for listening. Enjoy.
Yes, welcome to the Sherry Group Podcast. My name is Drew Demery, and joining me today is a special guest, David Sherry. Welcome to the podcast, Dave.
Thanks for having me. Well, it feels strange to be the guest today, but I'm excited to get a chance to share some tidbits about property.
Yeah, you know, in thinking about site and facilities and this podcast, it was like, well, we got to have Dave share some of his great insight because he's got years of being an executive director and managing a site. He really knows his stuff. And I think you take a lot of pride in it, don't you?
Yeah. You know what? One of my favorite parts of running camps all those years was property management. I know a lot of people maybe don't get excited about that, but I really do. It's such an opportunity to have an impact on program. And the two are directly tied together. And for me, it was always fun to be thinking about the details and how do we continue to build and maintain a facility that's really going to help thrust our program into great positions. You know, I don't ever want to have a situation where we were not getting campers or camper evals or poor because we didn't have decent facilities.
Sure. Sure. Well, let's dive right into that. Tell me a little bit about how property and site are actually connected to programming. Because I think about programming, I'm thinking about doing archery and climbing, site facilities. I'm thinking about walkways and clean bathrooms. How are they connected?
All those things that you're talking about, right? So safety is the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
For all of us that want to run programs, our number one priority is safety. And safety comes not only from how we manage a program or an activity. So obviously we need to have trained staff in archery or lifeguards at the lakefront, but we also want to make sure that we're offering facilities that are safe. So you talked about cracked sidewalks. Just a simple thing as a kid walking backwards with a group of buddies, because everybody's behind him. So he's turned around, walking backwards, talking to his friends in his cabin. It comes across a raised lip or a crack in a sidewalk could quickly, and it has actually for me, turned into falling down and having broken arms. We had a broken arm a couple more than once in my career from kids who literally just fell walking, right? Gravity got them one way or another. They'd fall and put their arms down to catch them and have a broken arm. And so things like that, or even design around safety. So Gaga pits are so popular in camps and such a great game. My kids loved playing Gaga and still do. And I'll be honest, I love playing Gaga. I don't have the speed that I probably need to be really good at it, but I do love playing it. And so even just simple things like, what are you going to use for the inside of that Gaga pit so that it's not slippery yet coarse, so that kids can be safe and not be tripping and getting hurt? How's it to keep it from all being mud after a rainy day? That has to do with safety, or even things like putting a railing around your Gaga pit. You know, when I first built Gaga pits at Y Camp, or had them built, we had volunteers build them. We put railings around the top of the Gaga pit, and it looked really, really nice. But in actuality, we had more broken arms from kids sitting on the side of the Gaga pit and falling off backwards and trying to catch themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they're sitting on the Gaga pit and then the game comes towards them. And so they lift their legs to get out of the way, mm-hmm. and they fall backwards and then have to catch themselves and get hurt as they fall to the ground. And so just little design things like, hey, we probably shouldn't have this nice ledge to sit on all the way around the Gaga pit. Let's get kids to get out of the pit and stand and watch from the outside. Little things like that. Plus just, you know, keeping the place mowed and having appropriate stairs to go up and down. And all of those things lead to safety. And that's what we all want for our programs. The other way, site and facilities, you know, we want to have a nice archery range, someplace that we've got a way to stop the arrows that miss getting shot at. And a place, you know, you want to be able to present a nice spot to go shoot. And whether that's archery or canoeing on your pond or your lake or your river or just an athletic game, playing in your athletic field. Having those areas maintained and well-kept and presentable make them more enjoyable and make them, quite honestly, easier to present program on. And then I think the last part of it is marketing or registration or however you want to define it. That, you know, when mom and dad show up to drop their kid off at camp, to drop off their camper, they're looking for ways to decide whether or not they should feel safe, right? I think about every time I've left my kid anywhere, you are, whether you're intentionally searching or not, you're picking up on things and you're nervous about leaving your kid there. So if you drop your kid off and go use the restroom and the restroom is filthy, that's going to make an impression that, geez, if you can't keep the restroom clean, how are you going to take care of my kid for a week? Or if I drop them off at a cabin and the railings are broken off the bunk bed and there's no screens on the windows or the screens are punched out, all of those little things, they've got a direct impression made on whether it's dropping your kid off or coming for a tour to make a decision on whether or not to have your kid there. Property and property management directly tie to program in lots of ways.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit. You mentioned safety as probably like a guiding principle to your site development. Sounds like camp cleanliness and comfortability. You talked about camp being nice, looking nice. Did you have some guiding principles when you were looking at site development and program development, or how those were connected?
Well, I think that, first of all, mission drives program and program drives everything else. And so we make decisions on our staffing based off of program. We make decisions, all the decisions we make on camp should be based off of program. Our revenues come from program. And so another thing that comes from program are our facilities. So we need to take a look at, what are the programs that we're running? How do we run them? How do we operate them? Does that work, not work? All of that needs to be considered and looked at when we're considering facilities. What do traffic patterns look like? Where are kids, where are the campers and staff walking, and what are they using? And so I guess one guiding principle to answer your question is to let program drive facility needs. Another would be just keeping the place clean. And clean, we automatically think about bathrooms, and that's certainly the case. We want to make sure that bathrooms and cabins and facilities are kept clean. And there's ways that we can set up cleaning schedules and all kinds of different ways to make that happen. But clean is also something that you see when you pull onto camp, right? So a lot of camps still have their maintenance areas towards the front of the camp. And so you pull into camp and you might see a camp that has got an old van sitting there rusting out and some trailers that aren't using and all this junk sitting around a shop. And that does not present a clean look versus pulling into a camp that has been freshly mowed. We would always mow camp over the weekend so that it was ready to go for Sunday check-in. Looked nice when the parents came to pick their kids up on Sunday. Nice fresh lines in the grass.
Yep.
Weed whacked, making sure it's weed whacked, making sure that things are landscaped well. Coat of paint goes a long way. All of that stuff makes an impression upon, just makes a good first impression and the impression of being clean and maintained.
Sure. Do you have, before our break here, do you have a couple of cost-effective ways to keep camp clean?
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of ideas. We'll rattle through a few here real quick. One is build cleaning into your program. There's no reason that the campers can't help pick up litter. You can have after dinner, one night a week or two nights a week, you can have your kids go out and pick up litter that's been floating around camp. You can have your staff pitch in to help with some general cleaning as well. But I also think just buying every used weed whacker that you can find, right, on Facebook or garage sales or whatever. Invest in weed whackers. Keep the buildings weed whacked around it. Keep the weeds down around the trees. Using some spray, some stuff to manage so that you don't have to weed whack around everything. So we would make sure that there was no grass around a tree. And so we would make a circle around a tree close enough that the mower can cover it. and make sure that all the grass inside that circle was gone, so that you can get close enough to make it around the tree with the mower and not have to come back and weed whack around it. That just means, in most cases, that just means a few inches off of the bark. I think a screen person, you know, screens get knocked out in cabin doors all the time. Most of us have got screen doors in our cabins, and kids run through those screens and knock them out, and it just looks messy. We found a local guy that would do screen work, and I paid him $20 a month, $20 a month, to come out and walk through camp. And that's what he did. For $20, he would come and walk the entire camp property. And then any screen that he found that was broken, he had the standing authority to fix on site, and then we would pay him per screen. So a screen door repair was, I think, $8. A window repair was $12. And early on, when we were getting caught up, those were some larger bills. But on a monthly basis, once everything was maintained, you know, our screen bill per month might have been $50 to $100, but our screens were always maintained. And that's something that you think, boy, that's an easy repair to do yourself, but you don't, it's hard to keep up with. Mm-hmm. Hard to keep up with and do. Having blowers, like a gas-powered leaf blower that you can use to blow off sidewalks and steps. You know, if you've got stairs leading up to cabins or to a cabin area or leading to another area in camp, keeping those swept off or blown off not only is more safe because kids run up and down them, and sand and dirt makes it slippery, but it also just makes it look nicer, makes it look cleaner. And you can blow off a pretty large area with a nice leaf blower in a matter of minutes. Taking time to pick up sticks after a storm, the big branches that fall down, those sorts of things. And then we would do what we called funk tours, just regular funk tours through camp. And a funk tour might be grabbing a couple of staff and jumping on a golf cart and just literally driving through camp and looking for all the funk that was left out. By funk, I mean that random kickball that is sitting in the weeds that got kicked off too far and nobody went to go get it. It might mean the giant walking ladders, that giant's ladder that we would use to walk on for team building games that got left in the field and never got put away. It might mean that one random sock. Everybody has a random sock, right? Random sock that got dropped on the way back from the pool house. But just being very intentional about funk tours and saying, hey, who's got the funk tour today? Or, hey, how about two or three of you jump on my golf cart? Let's go do a funk tour. And trying to keep up with those things and put that stuff away. You know, one or two things left out, not a big deal. But when it starts to accumulate, it looks messy around camp.
Yeah, which can happen quick with a larger camp. Let's take a quick break here, and we're going to dive back in. We're going to continue along that idea of touring camp, because I know you've got this cool idea of like an audit. And I want to dive into that so that our listeners can get a little bit more. Let's take a quick break.
The Sherry Group, LLC, is a proud supporter of summer camps and nonprofits nationwide, specializing in operations, fundraising, and executive coaching. Contact the Sherry Group today at www.thesherrygroupllc.com. Thank you.
All righty, we are back with the Sherry Group podcast. I am Drew Demery, joined here with David Sherry, and we're talking about a million little things that you can do to keep your camp looking clean and operating well. And Dave, I know one thing that you would do is you would walk around camp and not just do a funk tour, but you would also do like an audit, like a checklist. Can you explain that a little bit? Because you know it better than I do.
Yeah, you bet. So first of all, let me tell you, there are some great programs, some software out there that you can buy to help maintain facilities and track facilities. And if a camp is in a position to buy some of that, that's a great resource to have. But if you don't, there are still things you can do to help kind of track and maintain properties. So there are two things that we did monthly, and we would do this year round. One of them is we had a standing monthly to-do list. And so this monthly to-do list would change. It would have things added to it depending on which month it was. But there were things in there, like every month we would change all the furnace filters. And so it would have a building listed out. And so, you know, so-and-so lodge. And then in that lodge, each furnace would be listed and it would say clean furnace filter number one, clean furnace number two's filter. And all of those things that need to be done on a regular basis that we tend to forget about because we get really busy. And so we had a monthly list of that. And as we got closer, it might to summer, it might be during this month, it would be refresh the wood chips around the playground. Some of it was seasonal like that, but that was just a simple way that, our property manager then would take that list and go knock those things out the first few days or the first week of every month. And we were able to then stay focused to make sure that those maintenance things that we wanted to really take care of were being kept up with. And that was important to us because especially when it comes to HVAC systems, taking care of that stuff, keeping them clean, saves you so much money down the road. And so we wanted to, have a system in place to make sure that we weren't forgetting to do things or skipping things. The second thing that we did monthly is we did building audits. And so we would send a property person out, or it might be a program person one week, but we would send out a staff person who would literally walk through every building. And it could take a while to do it well, but we would make a point of every single month, every building was walked through. And we had an audit form that we had made up, which was basically just the name of a building. And then you write down anything that you saw and with any description so that property staff could find it easier later. So an example of that would be you'd walk into, let's say you walk into a cabin, cabin A, and you walk into cabin A and there's a light bulb burnt out, or maybe there's an outlet that has a cracked cover or a bed that has a loose guardrail, anything like that, that you might find. And all those little things that a lot of times, you know, we check out cabins and we see, but then we forget it or we don't catch it right away. It could be a loose step stepping up into the cabin. That could be anything. But basically, we're going to walk through the inside of every cabin. We're going to turn on the lights. We're going to make sure everything works. And then we're going to walk around the outside of the cabin. And anything that we see that is concerning, that is not the way it should be, we're going to write that down. And we call that our building audit. So then we would come back and sit down and go through and prioritize those ones, twos, or threes. Ones were light bulbs, outlet covers, anything having to do with safety that had to be dealt with right away. Twos were things that we wanted to get to by the end of the month, but were maybe a little bit of a larger project. And then threes were more of a long-term maintenance issue. So somebody noticing that the building needed to be stained or that the roof is starting to show some wear on this building. And then we would track those so that we can start planning for them more long-term. And then the objective would be once we completed that, that all the level ones and level twos would become priorities to finish that month. And so it was a way to make sure that we were keeping up with all those little maintenance things and catching them before they happened. And we did that for every building, dining hall, the lodges, restrooms, cabins, all of it.
I love that intentional approach. I can think of when I was a camp director, like in the wintertime, I would park in the parking lot, walk to the camp office, and maybe once a week walk to the dining lodge if we were going to have a meal there as a camp staff or we had a group out. And then I'd walk straight back to the office, do my work, walk to the parking lot, drive home. You know, cabins were not on my mind, but then come May 15th, when we were starting to get some groups and some kids, it was like, oh my God, there's a million things to do right now. All these light bulbs, all these screens and outlet covers. We all kind of get set in our path, I think, throughout the year, and we walk a certain path. So I love that intentional approach of seeing everything and seeing things that aren't on your everyday path. I really love that. What other ideas might you have for us, Dave?
Well, I think that, you know, in the time we have left, we can just maybe share, we'll run through some quick and easy things that you can do right now. That's your camp. And I think certainly there's a lot more than we're going to share in this list, but here's maybe something that a couple of our listeners can hear and put directly into play. One of the things are benches, right? So we would build Leopold benches. You can look those up online. Leopold, L-E-O-P-O-L-D, Leopold benches. Very simple design and a very durable bench. Pre-pandemic, they were costing about $22 a piece to build. A great project for volunteers or scout troops or whatnot to build for you. And our goal was to have 300 of them. And so we wanted Leopold benches everywhere because we really believed that camp is about relationships, and there's no better way to build relationships and be able to just sit down and talk to people. And so we wanted to create little pockets where you could sit and talk, where there'd be two or three benches where some kids could sit down and talk to each other and hang out and visit, or where a cabin could sit down with their cabin leader and have a conversation. And so that's one of the things we would do. We would try to buy things in bulk and make sure that we weren't having to run to the store. You know, this is something that happens all the time. And it's such a simple concept, but a lot of camps that I visit really struggle with this. So you have a toilet that breaks. The fix itself might only be 5 minutes, but you could end up having an hour into this by the time you run to the hardware store, get the parts you need, and come back. And so we would do regular trips where we would keep things stocked up. So toilet parts, paper products, those sorts of things, but also light bulbs, and then light covers and outlet covers. I would really encourage all camp people to go buy a pile, a box full of light covers and light switch covers and outlet covers. They get cracked all the time, or they get dirty. You know, you look at the light switch cover in your bathroom. Chances are, if you're at a camp, it's dirty. You can clean it, but it might be stained. It might be cracked. To switch out a cover, they cost about $1. Right. And so to have 20 or 30 of them on hand is just a quick, easy way to keep things looking clean, to take care of the cracked ones and keep them maintained. It's just a simple thing to do. We found a picnic table design that we really liked that was easy to build. And then we built a jig for all of the parts for that. And we would have volunteers build picnic tables. And the picnic tables were costing us at the time, again, this was all pre-COVID, but at the time, picnic table was costing us just under $100. And, you know, it could be put together with two or three volunteers in the course of an hour or two. And again, picnic tables allowed us a place to sit and have games, to eat outside, or to just sit and have conversations and hang out. Really simple thing to do.
And volunteers love building things. Right. If I'm going to a camp and volunteering, I don't want to just rake leaves. I don't want to just sort t-shirts. I want to build something, make real feel like I had an impact.
Yeah. And you get to come back and see it being used. And that's cool. Right. And it's something we all need. We all need picnic tables and benches and stuff like that on camp. One of the things, if your camp is not doing it now, you really should start right away. And that is a regular slip, trip, or fall tour. And so we would take our staffs, split them into groups of two or three people. I understand some camps don't have that many staff, and so then just go out by yourself. But a regular slip, trip, or fall tour is going through camp with a very intentional eye of looking for things that you can slip on, trip on, or that will make you fall, right? We should add in there to look up. We just did an episode on trees, making sure you're also looking up to make sure that your trees are safe above you. But
yeah,
finding all those little things that a lot of times as we cruise through camp on a golf cart, or if you're going through camp and it's full of kids, you're busy watching the kids and the staff, you're not paying attention to that bump in the sidewalk that we talked about earlier, or something that, a nail that is sticking out of the corner of the gaga pit. Mm-hmm. We want to be very intentional of looking for those things to make sure that we're keeping kids safe. So those are a couple things. Adding stuff to read in the bathroom. I know this is something that I've gotten teased about before, but I think it's a good move to do. So a little history on camp, or a little tidbit about the nature around camp, or whatever you want to call it. And then having that laminated and put in front of urinals or put on the sidewall in a toilet stall, I think is just a nice little customer service thing that we can do that that people enjoy having something to look at or something to read or kill the time while they're in there. I'm also a big, big believer in thinking about the toilet paper rolls that you put out. And I know, again, that sounds silly.
Okay. I haven't heard this one.
I know that sounds silly, but there are a few things more frustrating to a guest than running out of toilet paper when they need it. And a few things more frustrating to a staff person than having somebody knock on their door late at night because they don't have toilet paper in their cabin, right? And so we intentionally switched to a two-roll dispenser. And so our objective was is that if there was ever only one full roll showing when we did our walkthroughs of our cabins, that we would replace the second roll. But that way we never ran out. And once we switched to that, and our provider who we purchased our paper products from provided all of those dispensers for free. It was just a matter of us taking the time to install them all over camp. But it eliminated what it was, seems like such a simple thing. But again, if we're going to be intentional about how we treat our guests, our campers, maybe a simple thing, but an important thing is making sure that there's toilet paper available when they need it. So those are just some ideas, some little things that we can put into play right away.
Love it. Wonderful. Well, geez, we're on about 25, 30 minutes here. It goes fast, doesn't it?
It does go fast. And you know what? There's a lot more things I'd love to share. And maybe over time we can jump back on and share some more tidbits here and there. But I'd like to leave it at just being very intentional about your facilities, making sure that you're thinking through how your facilities impact program and thinking through what you can do to have that impact be a positive thing. And let's be intentional about caring for them. So many camps fall behind on maintenance. We don't want to fall behind on maintenance because what could have been a $500 fix can become a $2,000 or $3,000 fix if we don't get on top of it right away. And that comes into a whole other discussions about budgeting and how do we fund depreciation and those sorts of things, which are all conversations you and I know would both love to have with people if they have any questions.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Dave. I greatly appreciate your insight here today. I think this will probably be our last episode for our Site and Facilities podcast until we pick it up again, maybe next year or in another season. But this has been a great podcast series. So thanks for joining me on that, Dave.
Yeah, it's always fun. I really enjoy these podcasts. I enjoy getting to talk to our guests when they come on. We've had some great guests for this series. And I enjoy spending the time with you and enjoy the idea that hopefully one of our listeners can get an idea that can help make camp life a little bit better for them.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Well, great. This has been the Sherry Group Podcast. I am Drew Demery and my co-host, David Sherry. We will see you next time.
This has been the Sherry Group Podcast. Thank you for listening and have a great day.